Welcome to The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. The Learning Curve is about helping kids get good grades in school and succeeding in life. Our basic premise for this program that we operate on is that all children have a natural ability to learn. This program is for all parents, teachers, and students who truly want to succeed.
Thank you, Virginia. Today we have the second part of our interview with Dr. Richard Gordon. Dr. Richard Gordon has had 40 years working in the inner city school environment in New York and New Jersey. He's a retired professor of New York University. And what he's discussing is the situation of the inner city schools and the poor educational accomplishment in them. And he does expose a lot of myths and deals with the true situation as to some of the reasons why performance in the inner city schools are not good. Part of it is a cultural situation where students very often don't have the same home backing that would facilitate success in schools. A lot of it is peer pressure and the political environment. And this is not prejudice-based because Dr. Gordon himself married a black lady and he has a son with her who is now entering university. And he discusses the issue, quite frankly, of the reverse discrimination that his son is going to enjoy. So this is a provocative program, and one that, if honestly approached, will go some way toward helping resolve the poorer performance that we do see in the inner city schools. So here is part two of the interview that we began last week with Dr. Richard Gordon. And what do you think of the charter school movement? Do you think that they're doing a little bit of a better job at this or what? Or that's a more modern thing?
It could be good, it could be bad. It's the type of kid that you get. Now that's kind of self-selecting, so they would probably get some of the best kids by definition, you know, because the parents are interested in the kids, they put them in a charter school.
Well, that's true. I mean, here in, I've observed in the inner city areas around New York City, you know, New Jersey as well, when a charter school is opening up for the new year, the place is inundated by caring parents.
Yeah, but it's
like a lottery, and parents just freak out and get weepy when their kids can't get in.
That's true. And so what do you have left in the inner city but the worst of the worst? And my own feeling is that these schools should be shut down and, you know, try something else.
So the real question, and maybe what we should be putting attention on, are there any answers to this, do you feel?
There's some answers. But in order to address the answers, some of them are pretty obvious. But in order to address that, we got to debunk another myth, and that is...
I love myth debunking. You're a good man.
Yeah, I like to debunk them. Another one is that it's the problem is money. Now, they got away with the liberals, and the black folks got away with that myth for 20 years. And there was a book out about Jonathan Kozol got rich with that lie, and I never believed it then, and I know it's a lie now, and they don't say it anymore. But in just a few words, you go in inner city schools, go in the closet, and you know what you're going to see? Book after book, get computers and that haven't even been used, okay?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They probably, if you add up everything, have more money than the suburbs.
Yeah.
Now, how do I arrive at that? You say, well, look at the per person is higher in the suburbs. Yeah, but you forgot something. In the inner city, they got all these federal programs, No Child Left Behind.
Yeah.
and they get the free lunch and the free breakfast. See, so nobody now is arguing anymore that it's money. That the money is nothing, and that therefore, and this Zuckerberg, he gave $1 million to the Newark Public Schools. I'll make you a bet that it has no effect on anything. It's not the money.
Yeah.
So he's giving money that they'll waste, and some of these administrators will get rich, but it's not going to help the achievement very much.
Right.
Okay, now, Ansel, let's talk about some of the things that we can do. And there are some things that you can do. The first thing is somebody has got to do something about the unwed mothers. Now, blacks themselves are saying this. It's a national disaster. I mean, how can you have 72% of families with just a 15-year-old as the breadwinner? Okay? So it's a huge problem. Now, I can't wave a magic wand and say, you know, how do we solve this? But society has to solve it, and it's got to come from within the black community. Okay?
That is true. We had a conversation with a black lady who's an editor and journalist down in Philadelphia recently, and we were talking about this rather briefly, and we were trying to offer to her the information that was in our book, that she might write an article about it, and she looked at us and quite pointedly didn't accept our offer, but said it is a community problem and it has to be resolved within the community. We didn't get the chance to say, well, tell us the facts, what do you mean?
Well, she's actually not wrong.
I'm listening to you. I now know, I understand what she was really getting at.
The community hasn't done anything. All right, now, continuing with that, the blacks have to have better leadership. Now, look at the leaders that they have had over these last couple of decades. Al Sharpton. All right, Sharpton. If you want me to go over.
Well, he's got good-looking hair.
Yeah, his hair is good. His perm is good. And Jesse Jackson.
Good grooming.
Yeah, these are the folks that have gotten rich but haven't helped blacks at all. This is the best leadership that they can get. They're in big trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, now you look at somebody like Bill Cosby, on the other hand. His message is the right one.
Yeah.
Okay, you can do it. Stop with all of this and pull yourself up by your bootstraps and study and education is worth something, and so they have to change their leadership. They have to change their community organization, and they have to have a better family structure. And then there's this violence.
Yeah.
Now, you say what you want, but the statistics are rather clear that they're more frequently more interested in violence than in learning. Now, how can I say that? Well, I was an assistant principal in an inner city school. And it was a fight every day. And the black kids are seven times more likely to wind up in jail than the white kids. Now, those are facts. Well,
yeah.
You can't blame the courts for that.
That's the cultural thing.
Up the store.
You know, when I was in London, I was there for about 17 or 18 years. And in those days, we're talking 1965 onwards. In those days, the migrants coming in from the British colonies like Jamaica and Trinidad and places like that, they were learning fine. They were doing fine. And their role models were, you know, sensible, community-minded, community-spirited type folks, and the kids were doing equally well in school. But over a period of time, what you're speaking about began to creep in. And the communities developed, and then the peer pressure developed to bring the kids down and to make them misbehave. And misbehavior became the right normal thing to do for this community. It's quite tragic.
It is tragic.
And that's
what
I see here in the States.
A lot of people don't understand this concept, but within black, the black community, you have the Caribbean blacks, and you have the African blacks.
Right.
And it's interesting because the African blacks do much better. The Caribbean blacks do much better.
Yeah.
Powell, for example. Now, what does that prove? What it proves is that maybe it's not genetics at all.
Right.
Maybe it is culture. And that there's something in the American black community.
Yeah.
It is absolutely poisonous as regards success.
And behavior.
And behavior.
Yeah. So it is a cultural thing. It's not a genetic thing.
Well, you know, this is racist. Look at the statistics. Educational achievement. And that the black kids in from American black community is 6 times more likely to be in jail.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Richard, what else can you tell us that would benefit our listeners?
Well, another thing, you and I started having this argument off the air, and it is about the teachers.
No, we did not argue.
I was blaming the teachers, and I don't see it that way at all. And that is, the folks, everybody agrees that there's a problem, you know, with the black achievement. So, first they made up the story, well, they weren't getting enough money. Well, we found out that that's bull, and they'll probably get more money, and certainly tons of money. That's not it. Okay, and then we decided, well, maybe the buildings are too old. What buildings? We got nothing to do with anything anyway. And
right.
You know, look at all these groups that came over in old buildings and were successful. That's got nothing to do with it. So now we start blaming the poor teachers. Okay, and that they have very little to do with it. Okay, and now, how do I know that? Well, the first and obvious thing, though, is that nobody, 95% of teachers don't want to teach in inner city schools. Maybe
right.
98%. Again, firsthand, folks. I've done this, been there. Okay? Why not? Because, A, the kids don't want to learn. There's violence. Parents are obnoxious. They're aggressive. They don't work with you. Now, these are what all the teachers are saying. It's not what I'm saying.
Right.
And therefore, when they get some experience, off they go. If they don't want to work there. Now, you have some. So you have more the newer teachers, less
yeah.
experienced teachers. There's no doubt about it. But these teachers have done everything that they can. Now, if you've got discipline problems, if you've got kids that don't want to learn, and all they want to do is fool around and fight, it's kind of hard to teach them, and it's not much fun to teach them. Okay? And so don't blame the teachers.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, when it comes to administrators, it's been interesting, too, that a lot of the administrators are black, okay? And some of them, and now you have racism again, but it's the opposite. I'll give you another interesting thing. If you're a black teacher, it's much harder to get fired. If you're a black administrator, it's much harder to get fired because of your skin.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a reverse discrimination.
Yeah.
Again, this is a fact.
Yeah.
It'll make it even worse. If you're a black teacher, on the average, your education is not as high as a white teacher. This is a fact. You might not want to hear that, but it's a fact that the level of education compared black teacher to white teacher is much higher among whites. Now, this is a fact.
Mm.
And what kind of data? Well, look at their scores on the various achievement tests, and then compare, okay? And so it's not a quality there, but you can make the case that the black teachers are going to get along better with black pupils, and that's probably correct, that's probably true. And
mm-hmm.
I've seen some wonderful black teachers, by the way.
Yeah. Now, there are some really wonderful ones. They're really caring.
Caring and everything. Now, that is another myth, and that is discrimination. Oh, how I hear this. That is the next step, and that is that all this is because of discrimination. In other words, the black kids are not doing well because of white discrimination, which is an absolute lie. Absolute lie. Okay? The first thing is a lot of the teachers are black and the administrators are black and the school board members are black. So
right.
It's getting harder and harder to pin that. Now, let me tell you something. As somebody who's been in the schools, let's say 40 years time, 200 days, you know, how many is that? 8,000 days at least. I have never seen a white teacher mistreat a black kid. In other words, he treated him badly because he's black. It's just the opposite.
Right.
Day after day after day of bending over backwards, and treating people equally or even better.
Yeah.
And so this discrimination is just a lie.
Yeah, it's used by the victims.
It has nothing to do with that.
Yeah. It's used by the victim mentality to place blame rather than...
We want to be victims and blame it on somebody.
And give me. I mean, I've actually heard or read in the newspaper and seen a comment on television of some of these young girls, their solution to life, when they're able, is get pregnant and then they qualify for Social Security and support from the government. And that solves the problem of having to get a job later.
Oh, yeah, well, that's a lot more than you think.
It's tragic.
I mean, that's thousand upon thousand upon thousand. And I noted that the girls refuse to try to enter the job market. And they said, it's much easier. I'll get pregnant, have a couple kids, and I'll live home. Now, again, these are facts, and I see it over and over again. I try to explain what the job market is like and what the rat race is like. They don't even want to hear it. They certainly don't want to get out there and fight for a good job. It's just, I'm a victim, and it's not fair, and I'm not going to try.
Right. So looks like the answers are that folks just have to start getting really honest about what is going on, what the facts of the matter are, and knock off this alleged race problem nonsense, and deal with the fact that there is misbehavior going on. And if they want to make it, knock it off and get honest and become a member of the society that produces something.
Yeah, well, that's what I would say.
Yeah.
And now you're getting more proof. Every day there's more proof of what you just said is true. Look at the Vietnamese. Now, the Vietnamese came over. I mean, they came over from rice paddies with nothing. They were fighting and killing, being killed, etc. Came over to the United States with nothing.
Yep.
Now, the next generation, they had doctors, lawyers, and they work hard in school, and they don't have excuses. They're not marching and calling anything racism. They're so happy to be here, and they're succeeding. And it's one group after another. The Indians, the Jews, the Chinese, etc. And each group.
Even the Irish.
And the Irish, especially. I mean, they speak normal English, and they've assimilated, and they're doing well.
It's okay. So, that was a joke that I learned in England. The English tell Irish jokes, and you Americans, I'm told, tell Polack jokes. Is that right?
Yeah, I know. That's true. But in other words, fewer and fewer excuses can be made. You know, they're running out of excuses. It's Whitey. Well, it's not Whitey. It's not enough money. That's not true. It's the teachers. No, it's not the teachers. And it goes on and on.
Now,
you.
Go on. I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. But I'm just saying that the excuses are running out.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's this and it's that and it's just not working anymore. And we have to attack this business about the family and the peer group and the Black English crime level. And face it, and there's got to be some Black role models that step up. Oh, and then that is another one you haven't talked about. That is my favorite theme, and that is affirmative action. Now, do you know about how that works?
Yes, I've been reading about that.
Yeah.
And the reverse affirmatives.
Reverse discrimination. Now, maybe this is changing, by the way. In more and more states, this is being outlawed as illegal.
Yeah.
But right now, if you are Black and you apply to a college, it is a different level of expectation. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're like, let's say you're in California and you want to go to one of the state schools, state colleges in California. Now these again are facts. Okay. If you are Asian, you've got to do like 50 points better than a white to get in. If you are Black, you can do 30 points less than a white and get in, and 80 points less than an Asian and get in.
It's amazing.
You say, but that's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. Now, they're fighting it, but it's true. It's the same thing with law schools. It's the same thing. And it's the same thing also getting policemen's jobs and firemen's jobs.
Yeah.
they give you points if your skin color is a certain color.
Yeah.
The super irony of this is that before I get accused of racism, I was talking to this about this before.
Yeah, you and I had a conversation on this. You actually married a black lady.
Yeah, I have a.
So this is not, you know, race prejudice, and this is like speaking the facts. And what can we do about uplifting society so we all win here?
Yeah, and this affirmative action. I have a son. My second son is dark skinned. He's a mixed race kid. His mother is Dominican. And I always joke. You know, he's getting ready to go to college.
Yeah.
He has quote. Double minority status. Now, just imagine how horrible this sounds. Double minority. So he's either can go as black or he can go as Hispanic. Neither of which is a lie. I mean, it's true.
Yep.
But he is the least. He has had every advantage. He's the least disadvantaged kid that you'll ever meet in your life. He's had every advantage that you could have.
Right.
And yet, when he applies to college, which is going to be within a few months, he'll be treated on a different level. He'll get in everywhere. They'll welcome him. They'll give him scholarships. Now, that's crazy. It's not fair.
Well, it causes dissension within the community, which is not good.
Within the Asian community.
Yeah. And so we need to be honest about this and give everybody an equal playing field and have folk being responsible for themselves, upgrading their own levels of awareness and abilities to perform. And as you say, role models are needed in each community. And this is very important for parents because they are the primary role model.
Yeah, and what you said about these homeschool parents, I welcome them, admire them.
They're doing a wonderful job, by and large. You know, I think the government statistics are a bit sparse on it, but I'm seeing figures that the number of homeschooling families in America is something over a million.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And they just are keeping their kids away from the failing public school systems where they can. So, Richard, it's been a delight chatting with you, and quite elucidating, I must tell you, and I hope that all of our listeners take what you've had to say to heart, because it's based on facts, not prejudice. It's good advice, and I know the Tea Party folk will love it because they don't want to be sending more of their tax dollars into a sinking hole or a black hole.
You're absolutely right. Drinking the same tea.
Knock off the waste of money in education.
Just
come up with real answers.
A rat hole.
Yeah. And we've found, to be honest, while teachers are not to blame, there are a few little gaps in the education of teachers. They don't know about the seven barriers to comprehension. And so even among white students, what we find is that the rot starts often in the home because parents don't know either. But in preschool, young children are given false information and they become misdirected or unmotivated. And so the seven barriers to comprehension are something that really needs to be understood by parents and teachers so they're not violated. And that way all of our kids will win. But that's another story for another time, and you and I will have a conversation on that in a future program, Richard. So thanks for being with us.
Thank you, and I wish you well.
Ah, I wish you well, my friend. Keep holding to the truth.
This has been The Learning Curve with Roger and Virginia. The Learning Curve is about helping kids get good grades in school and succeeding in life. And the basic premise that we have based our show on is the fact that all kids, actually all of us, have a natural ability to learn. This program is for all parents, teachers, and students who truly want to succeed. To get more information on the materials that we covered in this segment, you can go to www.howtolearneasily.com. or if you have any questions or stories that you'd like to send to us, you can email us at questions@howtolearneasily.com. Questions@howtolearneasily.com.